Israeli tanks rolled into Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat's compound in Ramallah today and arrested 8 Palestinians. The action came just hours after a Palestinian set off a bomb aboard a bus in downtown Tel Aviv. It was the second suicide bombing in less than 24 hours, and police said 5 people were killed in addition to the bomber. Some 50 people were wounded. The Hamas faction claimed responsibility for the bombing. From Tel Aviv, NPR's Peter Kenyon has the story.
The windowless shell of bus number 4 leans toward the curb near the corner of Allenby and Rothschild Streets, not far from the city's financial center. An ultra-Orthodox rescue worker kneels to painstakingly scrape up the blood and particles that are no longer recognizable as human. 67-year-old Shmuel Solomon seems amazed to find himself not only alive, but virtually unhurt. He says he was just a few feet from the back of the bus, about to unlock his bicycle, when the bomb went off.
My son said, we own this restaurant right over here, and my son said, go and buy some cucumbers in the market. And when I bent down to unlock the bike, suddenly I heard a boom, such an explosion, and I was blown away all the way back here.
Police spokesman Gil Kleiman gives reporters the latest update, including the detail that probably saved Shmuel Solomon's life. The bomber set off his device near the front of the bus, away from where Solomon was standing.
At about 1 o'clock lunch hour time, a suicide bomber approaches the bus, enters into the bus. We knew now that the explosion occurred shortly after he entered the bus. The explosion occurs in the front of the bus. As a result of that, 5 innocent civilians dead, and of course the body of the suicide bomber was also found on the scene.
The Palestinian Authority condemned the bombing, but a few hours later, the sound of heavy machine gun fire echoed through the streets of Ramallah as Israeli tanks and armored vehicles entered Arafat's compound. Nabil Abu Rudaina, an aide to Arafat, said international intervention was urgently needed.
The Israeli tanks are pounding and besieging the headquarters. They have already injured 2 Palestinian soldiers, and they are shooting on every single corner around the headquarters. This is a grave and serious situation.
The army had no immediate comment except to confirm that an operation was underway. News reports said 8 Palestinians later surrendered to the Israelis. In addition to isolating Arafat, the army also reimposed a curfew on most West Bank cities. Some Israeli officials blamed the lifting of the curfew in Jenin and Nablus earlier in the week for the most recent bombings. Dori Gold, an advisor to Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, says despite the closures and restrictions in the West Bank, the Palestinian leader could reduce terror attacks if he wanted to.
If Mr. Arafat or the Palestinian Authority wanted to show goodwill towards Israel, that they had somehow turned over a new leaf, that somehow terrorism was now illegitimate in their view, they could utilize their vast security forces in the Gaza Strip, round up the terrorists of Hamas, Islamic Jihad, certainly halt their own attacks of Tanzim. But there's absolutely no evidence that they have moved in that direction.
Palestinian lawmaker Hassan Khatib says once again civilians are paying the price for Mr. Sharon's policy toward Palestinians,
which has been about keeping Palestinians under curfew and under siege and killing Palestinians. Today, 11-year-old boy was killed by the Israelis just because he violated the curfew. In the last 30 days, the number of Palestinians killed by Israeli army is 75.
The shooting of the young Palestinian boy occurred in Ramallah. His mother said he went out to get cigarettes for his father and was found with several bullets in his chest. The army said it was looking into the report. On Allenby Street in Tel Aviv, Jacob Hine stands by his bookstore's plate glass window, shattered by the bus bombing. He's lived here, first in Palestine, then Israel, for all his 87 years. He served with the British Army and then as a sapper defusing bombs for Israel. He says the technology may have changed over the decades, but the fundamental problem hasn't.
Unless they are going to find a solution to the conflict in this country, what happened today will happen non-stop. Even if it stops for months, it will come again, because it is a part of a conflict that must be solved.
Such comments are not uncommon on the streets of Israel and the West Bank, but the leaders on both sides appear no closer to finding a way to end the violence. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Tel Aviv.